This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Our special guest, Gordon and Rosemary, have been with us for the past few weeks, and they're back again today to talk some more about teamwork. And today, we're thinking about conflict between members of the team. Conflict, believe it or not, is inevitable. When you have two or more people together, they will each have ideas of how things should be done. And they're probably different ideas. So conflict can happen, even among Christians. The real question is, how do you handle conflict?
The scriptures are full of assumptions that I am fallible, that I am going to fall short. We counted in the New Testament 41 one another verses. Just let me read you a few. Be at peace with each other. Wash one another's feet. Love one another. Each member belongs to all the others. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, I could go on for a long time, but there's no point in writing all these things to people if they're just, all they've got to do is just do it. The reason that mostly Paul, but other writers in the New Testament wrote these things was because they know it's the most difficult thing you'll ever come to do. So you're going to have conflict. You're going to fall out. The other and yourself are going to clash. Their needs and yours are going to be different, and it's going to be painful. So we're acknowledging reality when we say that conflict is real, will happen, and needs to be addressed.
Some people would say that conflict and confrontation should never happen between Christians. Is that true? What about Jesus? There used to be a song that went, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild." Is that a true picture of Jesus?
Well, he certainly had some confrontation with the Pharisees. And in the temple, we all know how he overturned the tables. That was a very confrontative answer to that situation. Jesus actually was quite radical. He was challenging many of the false assumptions about God and godliness and the kingdom of God of his time. So I think Jesus was quite confrontational. Let's take a team where they're all agreeing except for me. Yeah. I can actually tell you that's part of my personality, but nevertheless, I think that we're very foolish to go down the road the team are suggesting. Now, I can be very good and humble and keep quiet, and they'll never have my perception. If I feel strongly enough about it, I can really argue my case. And if I'm convinced I'm right, I'll dig my heels in and we'll put it off for another day and I'll argue again till I can convince them. I am being a good team member in giving them my perception and sticking in there because I could be right. And the road they're going down could be disaster. And they need my perception. And in giving up what I see, I'm not helping them.
I don't think a relationship goes to the same depth unless there is some conflict. I think in any good relationship, people will have conflict, and the resolving it, the working it through together, takes the relationship into a deeper intimacy. I think we see this sort of thing when people are dating or going out with one another, that sometimes there'll be a lot of conflict in the initial stages, but that is a part of getting to know one another and finding out where you're different and how to resolve things on which you disagree, which you will inevitably do. Our older son and his wife have said that in the first year of marriage, they had a lot of conflicts, not anything like so many after that. It was as if they were working through things and sorting out where they agreed and where they disagreed, how they would do things and how they would not do things. This process also goes on in any good team.
So, conflict will happen. It can even have a positive effect on our team building. However, the main question is, how do we handle conflict when it comes?
Well, I think one of the first things to recognize is that we do have different natural styles of handling conflict. Some of us, by personality, like conflict. Maybe not too interpersonal conflict, but certainly, you know, you're the person who likes to always argue the case. They join the school debating society. So there's a form of outlet for their desire to win in verbal argument. And we talk about the win style. They actually are in there to win. They like winning. They like winning, whether it's playing football or racing their bicycles or having an argument. The winners are not noted for a high degree of listening. Then we identify another style, which is the person who withdraws. They hate conflict at any price. Harmony is a high value to them, and they tend to opt out of the system as much as they possibly can. Very difficult to get them to state an opinion. A third one that's been identified is yield. Now, these people are very sociable, more outgoing, but nevertheless, they still like harmony. And, well, their answer is, well, if that's what you want, let's do that. Well, let's go ahead on what you say. So you never really know what their need is, and it doesn't get expressed. Perhaps the fourth one is to compromise, and that we're beginning to make some progress here. You want to go to the local town to get supplies once a month. I think we ought to go often, once every 2 weeks. And you're saying, well, that's very expensive on petrol and time. We can compromise. Let's go once every 3 weeks, and that meets some of your needs, some of mine. And perhaps the fifth style of handling conflict is the resolve. Now, compromise is all right, but it has a danger in serious issues that neither of us actually get our needs met. And so we need to spend longer exploring ways in which I can understand your need, you can understand mine, and we find a strategy that keeps us both satisfied. I worked very recently with a team in Eastern Africa of young people. There were seven of them. And they were very, very different. And in fact, their whole 2 years there was fairly conflict-ridden. But they told me they spent 7 hours trying to find a mission statement. And I read it through. It was really good. It had got things like, we believe we're here to involve local people in finding answers to their problems. So it had got a lot of, what you might call, ideological things in where they avoided just doing the work they were there to do, but leaving a situation that was not good. And I believe that 7 hours of what must have been pretty wearing time in the heat of Africa was worthwhile, because they were still saying, yes, that's the mission statement we want 2 years later. It was worth the time listening to one another, going back over it again and again to reach a statement that all seven could put their commitment to and put their weight behind.
Okay, teamwork is work. Each member of the team comes from a different background, maybe even a different culture. Because of all the events in the background of each member of the team, the way each one approaches and handles conflict will be different.
One of the dangers we've seen is where a team has a win person on, and maybe it's a small team, and it also has someone who either is a yielder or a withdrawer who doesn't like conflict. And then the person who is the win thinks all their ideas are usually accepted and it seems okay for a bit. And they go through what we call the honeymoon period. But eventually, the one who withdraws or the one who yields will begin to feel very resentful. And we have actually seen two-person teams form where actually it's quite comfortable at first, because the withdrawer usually does not like making decisions and the other one comes up with lots of ideas and decisions. But eventually that issue's got to be addressed. It's tough even on the win person, because they say, well, they never said. They never told me what they thought. You don't say what you want. Certainly for the quiet person, it may be comfortable to be quiet. After all, you're never going to get into too much conflict just being quiet. And they've got to take a few risks and come out. And a good leader, chairman-type leader, of course, will say, what do you think? What would you like? And will make the quieter people in the team state their needs and their opinion.
So we do have to face the fact that there will be sometimes, maybe more often than we'd like, conflict. Some people, as we've heard, try to avoid it. They just don't attend meetings where they know conflict will happen. But that doesn't really solve the problem. There needs to be a solution, or the conflict will keep on happening. A successful team needs to find some way of resolving the conflicts that will come.
We actually have written down in the book 8 practical ways of resolving conflict. And I think the first one is to admit that there is a problem. Don't brush it under the carpet. As we were saying in previous broadcast, confront the problem. set a good time. If you're aware of a problem, don't put it on your teammate when they're extremely under pressure from other things or very tired. Try to choose a good time. Try to define the problem clearly. Keep to the one issue, the one problem, the one conflict that needs resolving. Don't drag up all your other grievances. And you did so-and-so. And you didn't do this. You won't solve the initial problem if you bring everything in. Tackle the problem, not the person. I think I've already said this, but I'll reiterate it. Avoid you statements which sound like accusations. You have done this. Avoid always and never. Try to see the other person's point of view. Sometimes you may need to bring in a third party to help you to understand what the other person's saying, because they're not so emotionally involved. Accept responsibility for your own actions. Own up to your part in the problem. Maybe I should have said something to you as soon as I heard, or I'm sorry I didn't come and let you know what's going on. Own up to your own part. Try to solve the problem jointly. Look for an agreed solution. This is resolution, isn't it? Where it's got benefit to both of you. And then once you've made an agreed solution, commit yourself to making it work, even if you don't totally agree. Now, in a larger team, you may have to sometimes say, the bulk of the team feel this is the right way to go, so I'll commit myself to doing it, even though it wasn't what I thought should be done.
Today, we learned some more about teamwork and team building. Today, we learned some good ideas of how to face conflicts that come between team members and some ways in which those conflicts can be resolved. Gordon and Rosemary were our special guests today, and they'll be back with us again next week at the same time as we learn some more about building an effective team.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.